Say good evening and Christian greetings to each of you this evening. I want to welcome you to the 52nd meeting of this nature. And it's a blessing to be able to be here and to join in worship. And I trust as we embark on this weekend of meetings that we come with expectation. We come with anticipation, and we go home fulfilled. And that's the thought behind the committee to meet the needs of our people today. And it can be an inspiration to each of us. As we think about the theme for the message, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And I think that's fairly fundamental, and I think we all understand that, and we can appreciate that, but we do ourselves good to remind ourselves again and again that a foundation, a solid foundation, is imperative for stability and for the ongoing work of the church and the ongoing life of a believer. When we have a solid foundation, we'll probably be hearing more about that as the weekend progresses. What is a moderator's message? Well, I'm not sure. I've never given one before, so this is the first. So you're a guinea pig being the recipient of what a moderator's message should be. And reflect back on one of my spiritual mentors who has gone on to his reward, Brother Ken Brenneman, which many of you probably know or knew. He had this phrase that he often said about a sermon. He said it should do three things. He said it should stimulate your mind, and it should convict your spiritual thinking, and it should tan your hide. And as we think about the messages that we're anticipating through the weekend, that it will stimulate our mind. It will cause us to rethink some things spiritually. And perhaps we may get our hide tanned just a little bit through conviction. But that's part of it. In light of that, I was thinking, what does a weekend of meetings like this do? What is the objective of getting together from Thursday evening through Sunday evening and just, you know, being together around spiritual entities? What does it do for us? And this evening, for a few moments, I want to take the word welcome and use it as acrostic. And I want to, and it's not limited to what I have chosen for each of the letters, by no means whatsoever, but it's things that have come to my mind, as what the fellowship meetings of this nature will do. What do we expect when we congregate together for a number of days? We learn to know each other. And we're here and we rub shoulders and fellowship together. And so I decided to take the word welcome, because that's what I want to do as a moderator. I want to welcome you to this weekend of meetings, and I trust that we can be relaxed and we can enjoy the fellowship, and some of these things will rub off of each other as we relate to each other throughout the weekend. August is a warm month. And these meetings often are quite warm in weather. But also, I believe that it's in warmth in fellowship. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." I believe in a setting of this nature, as we relate together, we develop a warm relationship. And that's the beauty of this type of meeting, that you can share together and you can encourage each other with a warm atmosphere as you relate to each other. I was thinking also of the disciples, I believe it was on the road to Emmaus, after Christ had been crucified and he was no longer with them, and how they said their hearts burned within them because of the presence of God, with the presence of Christ. And I trust this weekend, as we congregate together day in and day out for the next number of days, that we have that sensitivity to the presence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ that warms our hearts and it warms our spirit. In Romans verse 1, or chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." As we relate to one another, the purpose of the fellowship, warm fellowship, that we may impart something to each other in encouraging one another in our pilgrimage. Letter E, encouragement. Through the preaching of the word, there's going to be a lot of preaching in the next number of days. And you know, there's nothing more encouraging than finding new truth and being exposed to new truth. And, you know, through the preaching of the word, we become knowledgeable of truth. And the interaction with fellow believers is encouragement. As we relate to one another, we can encourage and we can, you know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised you'll be sitting down with somebody and sharing your heart sometime through the weekend of maybe, you know, something that you're battling with. And maybe you're going through a spiritual struggle and you just seek out someone and you sit down and you counsel with them and, you know, you find encouragement and enrichment. And that's the beauty of these kind of meetings, that we can find encouragement in relating to each other. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, he says, "If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity it is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." The responsibility of preaching the gospel, the simplicity of preaching, confounds the wisdom of the wise. And it just intrigues me over and over again of how the simplicity of the preaching of the word will bring conviction and will bring a change of heart. In Matthew 9 and verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." That was Jesus' ministry. And that needs to be our ministry as well, that we go about preaching. And not all of us preach audibly. We preach by our life. I had an interesting conversation the other day with a businessman who sat in my living room, and he was from the community there. I had done business with him in the feed business for a number of years, 40-some years. And he said, "Ray," he said, "I never sat in your church. I never heard you preach. I never heard you lead a Bible study. But," he said, "I saw a lot of sermons by your life in the community." And that blessed me, that I left that kind of a testimony. And I thank the Lord for that. So we don't only preach the word by being verbal, through verbal expression, we preach it by the way that we conduct ourselves and that the way that we relate to one another. The letter L. Well, what do we have for that? Well, I have laughter. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 17 and verse 22, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit drieth up the bones." As I reflect back on the many meetings that we've been here, you know, we refer to interaction and interpersonal relationships, and I hear and I sense laughter. And it does us good to laugh and to have a good time and to give expression to our feelings. And, you know, it'd be an awful dry world if we couldn't laugh and have a sense of humor within reason. And, you know, the Bible says that laughter or a joyful heart is a good medicine. And I believe that we need to, you know, enjoy sharing together the things that we enjoy and that we can have a good laugh. It does us good. In John 15 and verse 11, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." I believe that a person who is full of the joy of the Lord has an expression, not that he's laughing all the time, but he has a joyful spirit, and that it just overflows, and it's a freedom. And, you know, I think it needs to be a full expression. It was interesting as I was pondering this thought that I thought about Sarah and Abraham when she was made aware of being with child in her old age. And the Bible says she laughed. And it's interesting to follow through on that. And then it says, she said something in chapter 21 and verse 6. "And Sarah declared, Lord, God has brought me laughter. And all who hear about this will laugh with me." And so she had some news that it made her laugh. But she knew that when it got broadcast to other people, they were going to join her in her laughter. And so as I witness, you know, interaction of people in fellowship meetings, you know, there's times where you share together and you have a good laugh. And then when you expose the things that are involved, you know, they understand the purpose of the laughter. And it just makes a merry heart. In meetings like this, the letter C in welcome is conviction. I'm sure that with the preaching of the word and fellowship with fellow saints, we're going to be convicted, more than likely, to some measure. A conviction of spirit and conviction of conscience. And I would encourage us to allow our conscience to be sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because it is in settings like this that God speaks and he opens doors in our lives and that we become more like him. In Hebrews 10 and verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." There's that longing to have purity and be pure before God and having a full assurance of faith and having our conscience clear. In 2 Corinthians verse 7 and verse 10, Paul writes this. He says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." So there's a vast difference as we think about the godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation. And that's what we need to be open and sensitive to allow the work of the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. The letter O. In meetings like this, we're going to be challenged to become more obedient to Scripture. We will become exposed to new truth, more than likely, and maybe be exposed to a new awareness of the necessity of being obedient to the Scripture. In James 1 and verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The responsibility that James is challenging us there is that we're to be actively doing what we know we ought to do and be in obedience to what the Scripture teaches. And you know, we have a tendency to become complacent and to become nonchalant. We kind of plateau. But in the Christian life, we need to be progressive and aggressive in our journey. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. We learn obedience by going through new experiences and trials. And you know, there's times where we become more aware of our responsibility, being obedient to the truth that we learn and that we understand. And that we call that progressive sanctification. And we become more and more like Christ through walking in obedience. The letter M. I didn't know where to go with this one in the light of these type of meetings. But my mind went to memories. Some of us have been here numerous years, and so when we come together, we remember and we are reminded of each other in our friendships. And so we have memories with old friends, and sometimes that old is interpreted exactly that because we're aging. We're in a process. And so we have memories with old friends where we can sit down and we can reminisce and we can reflect back and we can learn from the things that we have gone through and we can share those memories with each other and be an encouragement. Philippians 1 and verse 3, Paul writes, he says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, reminiscing with friends and reinforces our belief and strengthens our faith. And I'm challenged by that. When I can sit down and I can reflect back on memories of things that have happened, it reinforces my beliefs and it challenges what my thinking is. The letter E, the last letter of welcome. And that is certainly not the least, but it's enlightenment of new truth. I'm fully convinced that there'll be new truths that we will be exposed to this weekend because of the teaching of the Word through preaching. And these new truths are enlightenments. It illuminates our mind and it stimulates our thinking, especially by the Word of God. And can also mean God-given understanding and insights. You know, it gives us a God-given understanding of an enlightenment, and we become more like Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes this in verse 18. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I trust as we embark on this weekend, as we think about the acrostic of welcome, and we make applications of these ingredients, and we try to apply them in some measure this weekend, I think we will be enlightened. And we will come to a greater understanding of what God has for us, what he has planned for us, and give us clarity in leading our lives. And so tonight, as moderator, I want to welcome you to this weekend of meetings. I trust that we can enjoy the fellowship, we can enjoy the exposure to God's Word, and then we can enjoy the enlargement of our spiritual beings. That is the purpose of these meetings, is to for the enlargement of our spiritual welfare, becoming more Christ-like. And that when we leave this place, we go back to our home communities, that we have a new vision and we have new anticipation of what God is calling us to. And I trust that that will be our experience this weekend. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us to come together to worship. We thank you for this weekend that we could set aside our responsibilities in our regular activities of life to be together, and we can be an encouragement to one another as we ponder the things that this kind of setting can do for us in drawing us closer to you and enlarging our borders of our spirituality. And so we just pray that you would just have your way in each of the speakers' messages as they have prepared and as they continue to prepare, that you would give them wisdom, give them direction, and give them understanding of what you would have them to share. And open our hearts that we can be enlightened and we can have our borders broadened in our understanding of the truth of your word. And so we pray your blessing upon this entire weekend, and we would bring you glory. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.